Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
I'm going to be reading, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 86 today. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version for this one for today. So I'll give you guys a few seconds to turn to Psalms 86. Again, if you want to read along with me in the Amplified, if you have your app or happen to have an Amplified Bible on you, you can read along, or you can just read along in whichever version you want. Just a quick introduction in case there's some new people around. I'm Jeff Behrens. I'm over at the Newfield location. I've been attending there for over a year now. My wife and I. So, you know, I teach soap time to time. I know today's supposed to be Pastor Harry's turn, but, you know, he had a baby just the other day. So he asked me if I could fill in for him as he's got, you know, his hands full this week. So you're stuck with me, right? Second best. No, I'm kidding. All right. So it looks like we're ready to dig in. All right. Psalm 86. It's labeled a prayer of David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am distressed and needy. I long for your help. Protect my soul, my life, for I am godly and faithful. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you, believing in you and relying on you, confidently committing everything to you. Be gracious and merciful to me, O Lord, for to you I cry out all the day long. Make your servants rejoice, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. All that I am in prayer, right? For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, all that I am in prayer. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our sins, sending them away completely, letting them go forever and ever. And abundant in loving kindness and overflowing in mercy to all those who call upon you. Hear, O Lord, my prayer, and listen attentively to the voice of my supplications, which are my specific requests. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works of wonder and majestic and majesty like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and kneel down and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous works. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk and live in your truth. Direct my heart to fear your name with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. I will give thanks and praise, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your loving kindness and graciousness towards me, and you have rescued my life from the depths of Sheol, from death. O God, arrogant and insolent men have risen up against me. A band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God who protects and is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Grant your strength, your might, and the power to resist temptation to your servant. And save the son of your handmaiden. Show me a sign of your goodwill, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Lord, helped and comforted me. All right. Let's open on a word of prayer. Ask the Spirit to, you know, come and guide us in this. And Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you preserved your word, and specifically through your word through your servant David, and that we get to hear his heart and his the posture of this man and his heart, as you even say he's a man after your own heart, Lord. So we get to see that, and we also get to read these beautiful prayers that he's written down that can even help us articulate the things that we feel, articulate, you know, how we would want to pray when we don't have the words to pray, and we're going through these situations that are similar and we can relate. And then we have these beautiful prayers that are preserved in your word that we can take, read, and even pray as we need help sometimes to do that, Lord. So thank you for that. Just pray that your Spirit would minister to us and speak to us, guide us, direct us, to teach us, to comfort us, to guide us. So be with us. Thank you for all the family joining in today, that we could connect and dive in, Lord. So it's always an encouragement to see people putting you first and starting out their day strong and in the Lord, and crying out to you, Lord, and putting their dependence on you. So we thank you for everything. Be with us, guide us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, let's see. So we're just going to go through, take our time a little bit, break down a few themes and points. So Psalms, I like Psalms because it's right, it really captures a lot of the writer's heart, and also it gives us some words to help articulate the things that we deal with. I know for me, I'm very it could be emotional illiterate. Like it could be hard for me to name my emotions or even to be able to describe, like I feel a certain way. I just don't know how to express it. You know, I even heard people say sometimes the best books, when we read books, the best books aren't the books that necessarily teach us something new, but actually give us words to describe what's going on inside, or enlightenment of that's exactly it, right? Like, so those aha moments of there's something going on inside. A lot of times we don't have the words or the way to articulate it. And that's why Psalms is a is a beautiful book that we have, and a lot of people go to it. Another point before we dive in, I think about this every time I read, I'm in the Psalms, is a lot of it's written in poetry or to be with music. And as we think about that, right, think about music today, right? When you, if you write a song or music's being made, you have to think about not just the words that are being spoken, but how it sounds, right? How you put it together. So you're really thinking of, like, right, there might be multiple words to use when trying to paint this picture, right? So you're thinking what rhymes, what sounds good, all these things, syllables, right? So, you know, unfortunately, I'm not, you know, fluent in Hebrew. I maybe know just a few words. So imagine, you know, what I can imagine, you know, using Hebrew words, that's going to change the sound and the beauty of it and all that. So now we have it interpreted and broken down into English. So it may not have that same flow, right? So we may miss out on that. But again, the heart of it's there. So I think that's just something important to consider as we read it. And it's like it may not always flow how we would talk, right? Because again, music and poetry isn't always written, articulated in a way that we would speak naturally. So take that plus in a different language, and here we are doing our best to kind of to grab off the pages what David's here, what his prayer really is. All right. So, you know, first part, right? And it's kind of Neat too. We just finished the series at church. Teach me how to pray, right? Learning how to pray, taking the Lord's Prayer that he gives us an example on how to pray. We can even kind of see of a breakdown of David's prayer of like how he starts, how he goes, kind of like here to here to here, all the way to his actual request. So right in verse one and even verse three, we get no, let's read it. So David says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am distressed and needy. I long for your help." Verse three, "Be gracious and merciful to me, O Lord, for to you I cry out all the day." So right off the bat, David is starting out in need. Like he's humble, right? So his posture is, "I'm distressed, I'm needy, I cry out to you because," right, like "I can't do this on my own. There's a need, there's a distress, there's a posture of humility." So he's coming before the Lord, in a very humble spirit, and as he comes humble, right, he articulates that. And then he goes on into verse eight, right? After he prays and we see his heart. He says, "There's no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works or wonders and majesty like yours." And verse 10, "For you are great and do wondrous works. You alone are God." So now he's about him and his posture, his need. And then he starts to switch over to who God is, right? Like God, there's none like you. Your works, your majesty, there's none like you. You're great. You do wondrous works. You alone are God. So he's establishing these facts, and he's not establishing these facts to boast God or to make God feel good about himself. Or, we may often, before we go to a boss or before we go to our spouse, we want to butter them up before we make our request. He's not buttering up God and to bring in a request. I think what he's doing is he's bringing assurance to his own heart, right? He's articulating some of those things that he needs to grab onto that are true, that are foundations for him. So more like, "God, I'm coming to you because I'm in need. Yeah, I know there are none like you, right? I know you do great and wondrous works. You alone are God, oh God." Like he's more, if anything, speaking to himself and giving that reassurance, and also bringing clarity in an outward expression of what's inside. Right. So all the day long, I can have certain thoughts and feelings and ideals about my wife, but if I don't express them to her, right, what's the point? And even though, yes, God knows our heart, he knows our mind. Again, my wife could know my heart and know my mind, but if we're not communicating, I'm not speaking it, right? There's something amiss there. So he's speaking it out to God. He's even writing it down for us to see. And it's, it, again, it's not, we don't need to butter up God. And whether we confess it or not, God is great and does wondrous works. So we have that humility, and then we have that, maybe even call it like a proclamation, or just a, "This is you, God, you are God, and I'm coming before you. I know this." And then verse 11, for me, this is a key verse for me. This is, I'm going to camp out here. I may come back to this actually. But verse 11, he says, "So teach me your way," right? After this declaration of who God is and his humility, he makes a request here. He's like, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk and live in your truth. Direct my heart to fear your name with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder." Right, almost you would think he's making requests of something you would think he already has, like because he just made these declarations of who God is and how great he is, yet he knows there's more. He's like, we can have belief and still wrestle with doubt, and still have on assurance. So even as he's making these declarations, just like he's human, just like us all, we all still have doubt. I'm a big believer that you can't have faith without doubt. So however strong your faith is, there's still doubt, or it wouldn't be faith. But if you ever think about that concept of faith cannot exist without doubt. It just can't, or it would just be, it just is. Like one day when we're in heaven, there will be no more faith. It will just be, it is. There's no doubt. There's no faith. It's just the reality before you, right? So the fact that it takes faith, it means it takes some things I don't understand, some things that are confusing, some things that I have doubt about. So faith isn't the absence of doubt. And in fact, the greater the faith, you know, the more doubt that's been overcome. So he's speaking to that, right? Teach me your way. Like, give me more, Lord. Direct my heart to fear your name with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. Like, he knows he needs God to continue to shape him, to teach him, to direct his heart. It's also a good part before he gets to his request to really get to a heart of a matter to say, you know, even though I'm going to make a request, maybe my request could be wrong, right? The things that I'm asking for, what's most important, Lord, is that you teach me your way, right? Help me to live in your truth. Help me to walk into your truth. Continue to shape my heart to fear you, to be in all reverence of you, and to just be in wonder of you. Continue to give that to me, to teach that. That's important. And then he moves on to verse 12, right? So he makes this request and he says, I will give thanks and praise. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your loving kindness and graciousness towards me. And you have rescued my life from the depths of Sheol, or from death. You know, he's kind of, you can see as he's speaking here, there's some experience. Right? He says, you have rescued me. So he's bringing back and reiterating some things that happened in the past. Like, we've been here before, God, and you delivered. And that, I'm holding on to that, that that's a part of your character. And you can even see as he's speaking and trusting in God's character, your loving kindness and your graciousness towards me. So there's just been relationship that's been developed between David and God, David has experienced firsthand God's loving kindness and his graciousness. And I often find myself when I'm going through big things, right? I think back, I'm like, wait, God has been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful again. So that's why, you know, as we continue to move on in our Christian faith, you know, the benefit is we have past experiences to help us. Now, unfortunately, I do see a lot of Christians who've been Christians for years, years and years, but they never stepped out in faith to allow God to show up, right? So they don't have that past experience. And sometimes we rob ourselves of that past experience of giving God an opportunity to show up. And again, sometimes we don't do that because we're fearful. If I give God an opportunity to show up and he doesn't show up, what does that mean? You know, that's something, that's a scary thing to reconcile. So we got to give God an opportunity to show up. You know, we have not because we ask not. Or if we ask and don't have, we ask amiss. We ask wrongly. We're asking for the wrong thing. And I think right here we get back in verse 11, we get a heart of something we should always be asking for in every prayer, every situation, no matter how good or bad is. Verse 11, in spite of what I'm asking God or what I'm going to ask, the situation or the circumstances that I'm asking to be changed, in spite of all that, teach me your way, O Lord, right? And I will walk and live in your truth. Direct my heart to fear your name, right? So that's always should be a heart and key piece to our prayers, no matter what our request. And then we get to, right, some more characteristics of God in verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God who protects and is merciful and is gracious, slow to anger, and abounded in truth. Did I skip one? Yeah, abounded in truth. And then he says, 16, turn to me and be gracious to me. Grant your strength, your might, the power to resist temptation to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Show me a sign of your goodwill that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed because you, O Lord. I skipped one here. Sorry. Verse 14. Right, he talks about now we get a glance into the circumstances that David's in verse 14. Oh God, right? So now he has this process, humility, who God is, his characteristics, asking for God to teach him and to enlighten him and to work on him. And then now his request of what's going on. Oh God, arrogant and insolent men have risen up against me. A band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. It's like just saying there's these ungodly men, like they have no desire for you, God, and they are out to get me. In fact, to even kill me and destroy me. Right? But in spite of that, he goes on to verse 16, But you, O Lord, are a God who protects and is merciful and is gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Right? So we have this scenario, and what David's doing here, he brings his request from his situation to God. Right? I bring it, yet immediately, I'm not going to make that the focal point. Like, I have my request. And never should our request be the focal point of our prayer. I mean, we have these almost 20 verses and one or two verses of his actual specific request. So here's my request. This is happening, oh God. God, this is where I'm at. But, thank God for that. But you, oh Lord, are a God who protects and is merciful and is gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and kindness and truth. And I think oftentimes as we pray, we just get stuck on our circumstances. And we just give these situations over to God. This is my need. This is what I'm going through. Fix this or help me through this. And we stop there and we miss the whole heart of prayer because prayer isn't always about changing our circumstances. Right? It's more about changing us. It's more about taking our heart off the circumstances and saying, God, you're what I need. I mean, you're the God who protects and is and merciful and gracious. And it's also a confession and a dependence on God to know I can't fix this issue, nor do I want to be the one to fix it. Right? It's not in my power. And in fact, if we remember early on, he says all the way back in the beginning. Let's see. Yeah, in verse 2, he's protect my life, right? Because I'm your servant, right? Like, I'm not Lord of my life. You're Lord of my life. So it's your responsibility to protect me. It's not my own responsibility to protect me. He even says, trying to think, he says in verse 4, make your servant rejoice, right? I lift my soul up to you. All that I am, I lift my soul. So there's this also theme of I give everything, my life, I surrender to you to be Lord of my life. So it's up to you, God, to give me joy. It's not my job to go and muster up joy and happiness. I gave my life to God. It's all for him. Like, so it'd be more like, God, give me the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's not fruit of my life for the things that I do, It's I surrender all that I am to God, and He is the one who gives peace and joy and comfort, right? He's the one that gives. So even all the way back here in verse 4, I give my everything up to you, God. So since that's the case, allow me to rejoice, right? Since that's the case, here's my situation. Take with it what you will. And in the meantime, Lord, teach me your ways. Help me to trust your ways. Whether these situations change or not, this is my heart, that you would show up. And like in verse 4, those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. He didn't ask them to be utterly destroyed, right? That they will see it and be ashamed, because you, O Lord, help me and comfort me, right? So he's asking for help and comfort, not asking for destruction. You can almost kind of even see a blend in there of how wonderful he knows God and merciful and gracious God is. And I know David knows that if these men were to see God's redemption and God's power and help in David, that could potentially be a turning point for these men, as they see the shame and the error of their ways, that if they were to call out to God, that God is a gracious and merciful God. And he even says somewhere in there, he says, all those who call upon you, right, will be saved. So he knows there's a theme that even his enemies can be saved and receive God's grace and mercy. So we kind of get the layout here of of David's prayer, from humility to even in a way of preaching to himself and reiterating these things, and ultimately relying on the comfort of who God is, right? Not the outcome of his circumstances. So, you know, I got 6:25. We're going to close in a word of prayer. That'll bring us right to 6:30, and we'll close it out there. But whatever season you're in, wherever you're at in life, I guarantee there is a psalm out there that is aligned with what you're walking through that you can use as a prayer. And if Psalm 86 would be, along with a lot of other ones, like a deliverance. There's a circumstance. We can see David needed deliverance from something. It was obviously for him, it was a man who was after to kill him. You know, so whether it's people trying to kill you, or people at your job trying to damage your name, throw you under the bus, whatever it would be, whatever attack you feel is coming at you, right? This is a beautiful prayer for it, and to help us to align our heart and to focus on what really matters, which is the character of God and not our circumstances. Because circumstances may or may not change. But if God can change our heart and our perspective in that situation, sometimes that can be all the difference in the world. So Father God, we thank you for, again, another day of soap, getting in and getting cleansed with your word. I love that name, the title, soap, right? Like, just your word, it cleanses us. It's like soap. This is our morning bath time, getting all the dirt and everything off of us, Lord, that we can have the right eyes and right perspective, and you know, to kind of just like the flow of this prayer, like we can come to you humble and like, God, we need to stand on who you are and the character that you have and your mercy and grace upon us, Lord. So be with us, Lord. Teach us your ways. Help us to walk in your ways. Give us eyes to see. And Lord, hear our requests, whatever they are today, as we get off and everybody takes a minute to pray and lift up their requests to you, Lord. Hear our requests. We know you care. We know you can change any of our circumstances just with a thought, with a word, and our lives could be changed in a miraculous way, Lord, but your will be done. And as your will's done, Enlighten us, Lord. Give us eyes to see. Teach us your ways. Help us to be patient. Lead us not to from right. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, even from the own evil in our hearts. Help me not to fall into temptation, whether it's sinful temptation or whether it's temptation to think that I can handle these circumstances on my own, or the temptation to think that you're not there, or the temptation to think that you're not big enough, God. God, help me. Teach me your ways so those temptations are flee and I can stand firm and secure in who you are, and to see you provide again and again and again. So be with your servants today, Lord. Help us to see you. We know you're with us. And sometimes we get distracted, so forgive us for that, Lord. We thank you for loving us, and we ask all of this in your son's precious name. Amen. All right, guys. Have a great day. Good getting the word with you. Get some coffee. Have a good one. All right. Love you guys.